Excited you are to see him here at Word of Life Church this morning. Amen. We're so blessed to have all of you worship with us. I was telling first service, I was getting dressed this morning and looking at my wife and my children, and then thinking about where I had the opportunity to come in and work, and that is before all of you, and how blessed I am. I think some people look at ministry as almost kind of like a burden. I've never really seen it that way. It really is the joy, honor, and privilege of my life to pastor this church. And I never want you to forget that. It's just a pleasure to have you here. We started a new series last Sunday entitled The Helper. And what we're talking about is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. If you're in a relationship with Jesus this morning, there's a ministry that the Holy Spirit longs to go to work on and fulfill in your life and in mine. And we said that in Christianity today, you have a lot of people who would readily and openly admit that they are trying to develop a relationship with Jesus. And how many of you in here this morning can say that's us? We want a strong, vibrant relationship with Jesus. And also, you'd have people who would readily admit that they want a strong, intimate, personal relationship with God the Father. And I think we could all readily say that. But we said that God is not the blessed two-in-one. He is the blessed three-in-one. That you have God the Father, God the Son, and also God the Holy Spirit. And we said for a lot of believers, they don't even know the Holy Spirit at all. Some believers see him as something strange or weird, and so they've never really taken the time to develop a relationship with him. But friends, what we aim to do in this series is to increase your hunger for the Holy Spirit, to increase your desire to get to know him, to fellowship with him, to pursue a strong relationship with him, because he longs to help you. He longs to help you in life. He longs to do something for you, and he also longs to do something through you. And so we're going to look at some scriptures to start off the service with. A lot of the scriptures I wanted to take you to, I realized very quickly that if we looked at all of these scriptures and I had you turn to them, that we wouldn't have a chance to do anything else, so we wouldn't even be able to explain them. So instead, I've had them work up the scriptures to put on the screens. They'll come up one after the other. I want to encourage you, if you're taking notes, to write down the book of the Bible that they're coming from. Most of them will be from Acts, as well as the chapter and the verse, and to take these home with you and go home and study them out. But I want you to see this first scripture. It's in the book of John, John chapter 16, verse 7. This is out of the Amplified Bible. And Jesus is talking here, and I want you to see what he says. He says, "However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, it's good, expedient, and advantageous for you," that's me and you, "that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby will not come to you." Now notice this next phrase, critically important, "into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you." Now look at this word comforter, because if I do not go away, the comforter. This word comforter is the Greek word paraclete. And what that simply means is one called alongside to help. He said, if I don't go away, this is Jesus talking, then the Holy Spirit won't come. And the reason why I need to go is so he can come, because he's called alongside you to help you live your life. And the Amplified lists some of the ways he will help. He'll be a counselor, a helper, an advocate, an intercessor, a strengthener, and a standby. But notice he says that The Holy Spirit is to be in close fellowship with you. But if I go away, then I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you, with me, with you, with all of us. So we asked this question last week. Are you in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Do you have close fellowship with him? Jesus said, that's why I'm sending him. I'm sending him for you to be in close fellowship with him. So that's my question. Are we enjoying close fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Now, how many of you have friends or relatives? Do any of you have friends? Okay, none of you have friends. None of you have relatives. Does anyone have friends or relatives? Okay. So most of you do, and some of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what I say. So I'll let that be suffice. But I believe everyone in here has relationships with someone. And is it not true that there are some relationships you have where you are closer with that individual than you are with others? Isn't that true? That there are some people you're closer with than you are other people. And we all know that we can have a relationship with God, we can have a relationship with Jesus, we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But it's not enough for just them to desire a relationship with us. Is it not true that there are some people who they may want a relationship with you, but you don't really want a relationship with them, so you're not in close fellowship because it's not two-sided? There may be other people that you really want a close relationship with, but they're not interested in having a close relationship with you, so there's not close fellowship. Well, the Holy Spirit really, really wants close fellowship with you, but that's not enough. You have to want it too. And you have to want to cultivate a relationship with him. And out of that relationship, fellowship begins to flow. Now, what I want to show you in these next couple of scriptures is that when the church first started, before any preachers could mess it up or teach people things that weren't true, the people in the book of Acts, the people who just accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, had a close, intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that is why the church in the book of Acts was so effective. They had that relationship. Now, you're going to see it all throughout the book of Acts. And once again, I encourage you, don't just believe me or even look at the scriptures on the screens. Go home to study these scriptures out and to see if the things I am telling you are true. My aim is that whenever you hear the Word of God from Word of Life, you cannot argue with the teaching of it from a scriptural standpoint, because we're going to show you a ton of scripture to back up our beliefs here. So with this, let's go to the first one in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. Notice it says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot." The Spirit said, Philip heard, Philip obeyed. Philip heard from the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the next one. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Let's go to the next one. These people, they knew the Holy Spirit. They knew him. They walked with him. They fellowship with them. I'll put it to you this way. The Holy Spirit was real to them. It wasn't just some force. It wasn't just some goosebump. It wasn't just something that happened while someone was singing on a stage with music. He was real to them in their life, and he was counseling them. Acts chapter 11, verse 12 in the Amplified. And the Holy Spirit instructed me. He instructed me to accompany them without the least bit of hesitation or misgivings or discrimination. So these six brethren accompanied me also, and we went into the man's house. Why did they go into the man's house with no hesitation? Because the Holy Spirit instructed them to. Let's go to the next one. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 through 7. Now when they had gone throughout that place and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Notice the terminology. Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to M place, they essayed to go into B place, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now, do you see? They're wanting to move forward with this, but the Holy Spirit's saying, no, don't do that. Don't go in that direction. Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to move in that direction. I want to go this way, but he's telling me not to go. Let's go to the next one. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 4. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, he speaks, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto S place, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Notice, sent forth by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost said, let's go to the next one. Acts chapter 15, verse 28. For it seemed, I love this, good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Well, why are you doing this? Well, it seems good. Seems good to the Holy Ghost. Seems good unto us. They knew him. Let's go to the next one. Acts chapter 21, verse 11. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound him by his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, I'll rest my case hoping I've given you enough evidence to prove that these people in the book of Acts had close fellowship with the Holy Spirit. They had what Jesus said they should have. Now, in order to have fellowship, you need two people talking. You need one person talking to another person and them exchanging ideas. One person asking questions, someone else answering them, and vice versa. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Wow, hearing from God, I've heard from God, or these people say they've heard from God. And I'll give you credit. There are some people who are scary with it. I mean, they're just scary. I mean, they hear from God about everything. I mean, peanuts or walnuts, they hear from God about. I mean, they want to hear from God about all these different things. That is a little scary. I heard one preacher say he was talking along this line, and he was walking out with his wife, came into the church, and a lady came up, and she said, the Holy Ghost said you should. You should have worn red. He thought, oh, well, which one? That's what he asked. Which one, me or her? We should have worn red. Both of you should have worn red. Well, why? Why should we have worn red? She had to think about it for a minute. Because red's the color of the blood. And he kind of stopped there and said, well, isn't white? He had on a white shirt. White, the color of purity. And she had on purple. Purple, the color of royalty. So there are people who take it from extreme. And I'll give you all the credit in the world. That is scary. I'm thinking of the same person you're thinking of. I mean, it is scary. That is a little bit weird. It's a little bit scary. But you know what's also really scary to me? Just really scary. Really scary. People who never hear from God. Because it is incredibly clear from my Bible and yours, not from my experience and what my father told me or the church I grew up in or any of that. It's incredibly clear from the Bible. He should be talking to us. That we should know his voice. And the voice of a stranger, we should not follow. That there are some voices, because there's no voice without significance. There are some voices that would lead us astray, but his voice will lead us into the truth. So here's my question. Jesus said, you're supposed to have close fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We've seen in the book of Acts what that close fellowship looks like. So when's the last time you said, yeah, no, I'm not going in that direction. And you maybe not have said it out loud, but the reason why you knew you weren't going in that direction is because you felt like the Holy Ghost doesn't want me to. Well, I don't think we should allow the kids to hang around them. But they look good. I don't know why. And maybe the kids will think I'm the mean parent, but something just doesn't sit well on the inside. Well, why are you backing out of that business still? Something doesn't right now. You wouldn't go as far as to say it to them. And I advise you to not try to be overly spiritual and spook people out by saying, well, God told me. I just say, no, something doesn't seem right. And you know it's the Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing. The Holy Spirit's got a job. And his job is to lead and guide you into the destiny God has for you. That there are some things you don't need guidance on. But there are other moments in your life that if you don't make key decisions, it's going to stop you from getting into God's best. Let me show you in Isaiah. Open up your Bibles there to the book of Isaiah. On the screens, if you can go to John chapter 16, verse 13. In your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 2 here. Isaiah 11, verse 2. In your Bibles, John chapter 16, verse 13. In the Amplified. When the Holy Spirit speaks, it's not just like casual stuff He wants to talk about. He is always going to lead you into the destiny God has for you. Now, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 11 here for like 2-3 minutes, and then we'll look at John, and then from there, I'm going to take you in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. But there's something I want to show you here in Isaiah chapter 11, where you can take some notes and mark up your Bible a little bit. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit, shall rest upon him. Now, it's about to describe him. It's about to say, this is what this Spirit does. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He's not weird. He's not strange. He's not spooky. This is what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Shall rest upon him. Notice the Spirit of, number one, wisdom. The Spirit of, number two, understanding. The Spirit of, number three, counsel. The Spirit of, number four, might. The Spirit of, number five, knowledge. And of, number six, the fear of the Lord. Now, the Holy Spirit, it's listed here that He will do six things. And four of these things are pretty much dealing with the same thing. He's the Spirit of might. And He's the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, meaning He will teach you what is pleasing to the Lord. But all the rest of the things mean kind of the same thing, wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to know what to do next. Counsel, understanding, knowledge. The Holy Spirit has a role, and it is to counsel you. Now, one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament was a man named Ahithophel. And Ahithophel was King David's right-hand man. This was King David's mentor, his advisor. And the Bible talks about how Ahithophel, when he gave counsel, his counsel was like the oracle of God. Now, that word oracle is a big word. It just simply means that whenever Ahithophel talked, it was like God was talking. And the reason why they said he's like the oracle of God when he gives counsel is because whenever they acted upon that counsel, it always worked out right. The Holy Spirit is called to walk alongside you, to give you counsel, wisdom, understanding. He is to be your closest confidant. He is to be the one you get advice from. When you don't know what to do about those kids and you've talked to all these other moms about it, the Holy Spirit is saying, over here, I know exactly what to do. That'll get them under control. When you're wondering, should I do that? Should I go to that party? Should I not go to that party? The Holy Spirit, He's over here saying, I know exactly what you should do. He is the Spirit of counsel. Now notice this in John chapter 16, verse 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, He never gives an opinion. He always gives truth. The truth-giving Spirit comes, notice, He will guide you. This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. He will guide you. So once again, when's the last time you or me were guided by the Holy Spirit? He will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him. And He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. This is interesting. That'll happen in the future. The Holy Spirit knows what will happen in the future. So when He gives you counsel, it's never based off of present circumstances or conditions. It's always based off of, he knows what will happen if you make that choice. Let's keep reading in verse 3 here in Isaiah chapter 11. He talks about the Holy Spirit, and then he goes and talks about this more in verse 3. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Now notice this next part. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. That's key. When he gives you counsel, he doesn't give you counsel based off of what looks good or sounds good. Any of you ever dated someone that looked good, sounded good, but wasn't good? Come on now. You know, some of you dating him right now. Any of you ever gone somewhere that looked good, sounded good, but wasn't good? Any of you ever made an investment that looked good, sounded good, but wasn't good? Then you ever made a decision, man, it looked like the right thing to do. It sounded like the right thing to do, but it wasn't the right thing to do. He says the Holy Spirit doesn't make decisions that way. Well, how does he make decisions? He knows the future. He literally knows the future. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows the past. He knows the present. And he knows the future. And so he knows if you keep going in that relationship, it's going to end up here. But if you'll listen to him and obey him, it's going to lead you here. And here's a whole lot better than here. When you're going to that party and you send some saying, something on the inside saying, don't go. The reason why he's telling you that is not just to ruin your night. It's he knows the future. And he knows at that party you'll meet them and then you'll do that. And it'll lead here. And here is just filled with a whole bunch of regret. But down here is just filled with peace. And if you'll just obey him, you'll have that. He's not just giving you good advice. He knows where the decisions you are making are going to take you. And he gives you counsel based off of that. It's fascinating. Growing up, I used to read these books. Someone texted, because I mentioned the story in first service, they texted me. It's called Choose Your Own Adventure. And now I remember the title. There were these, I see someone who liked the books. Choose Your Own Adventure. Basically, you'd read to like page 50. And at page 50, it would say, now you get to choose how the story will end. And if you want to go down the tunnel, turn to page 62. But if you don't want to go down the tunnel and you want to climb the mountain, go to page 84. And so you'd be stuck there at the crossroads and wondering, which choice do I make? Well, I could never make the choice because I don't like pressure a whole lot. So what I'd do is I'd just read both and then I'd come back and choose. And without fail, I always save the princess instead of getting eaten by the dragon because I knew the ending. And when you know the ending, you can make the right choice. Now, here's the thing. I don't care how smart you are, how intelligent you are, you don't know the future. Miss Cleo, she doesn't know the future. I don't care what she's tried to sell you on, she doesn't know the future. There's no one on this earth that knows the future, but the Holy Spirit does. So as good as you think that investment looks like, he knows if it'll be a good investment. As wonderful as you think that person is, he knows what she will look like in 20 years. I'm just kidding. See, I'm seeing if you're paying attention. He knows. So when he gives you counsel, it's not based off of the present. Because there's plenty of things that seem good to do in the present, but they lead to a bad future. He gives you wisdom according to what he knows will happen in the future. Now, go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's look at something here that we're all familiar with. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, then go over the book of Romans, and we will close in Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and on the screens, if you can pull up 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. On the screens, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. In your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 9. Great passage of scripture here. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. In verse 9 it says, but as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Isn't that beautiful? If you love the Lord, God's got some things prepared for you. And these things are beautiful. They're wonderful. He's got them prepared for you. But with this, there's a problem built into the scripture. Your eye can't see them. Your ear can't hear them. Neither can it enter into your heart, your mind, to know where they are. So how can you ever get to them? God's got all these things prepared for me, but if I don't know where they are because I can't see the path clearly, I can't hear where they are, how will I ever get to them? This past Easter, we had a big Easter egg hunt at my house, and just for our two kids. And, you know, we had the pink eggs and the orange eggs, and they had candy in it, that kind of deal. But there was one golden egg, and the golden egg had money in it. Well, of course, you want to hide the golden egg really well, so I hid it in a place where I thought it may take them a while to find it. And with this, the kids go out, and they're skipping over the candy. They don't even care about the candy, because they know we've got to bring it all in anyway, because it's going to melt. So anyway, they're skipping all over the candy. They're looking for the golden egg. It's a competition to see which one can find the golden egg. And my wife, she's watching this. She said, "You hit it too good. They're never going to find it." I said, "They'll find it." She said, "But they won't find it today." I said, "That's the point. I don't want them to find it today." "Well, why don't you want them to find it today?" "Because there will come a time in the next couple of weeks where Daddy needs some quiet time and they won't have anything to do." And I'll tell them, "No, you do have something to do. There's still a golden egg out there in the backyard with money in it." So anyway, so I gave you some ideas for next Easter. So with this, they didn't find it that day. The next day came, they didn't find it. Next day came, didn't find it. I mean, like 2 weeks went by, I still didn't find the golden egg. It's beautiful. So finally, Reese did something. I was like, "Oh, it's so amazing. What do you want?" And before I could stop myself from saying it, she said, "I want you to go outside and find that golden egg for me." So I had to go out there and get the golden egg. But when I went out there to get it, it took me all of 10 seconds to get it. Why? I knew exactly where it was. Now, I had it prepared not for me, but for them. But her eye couldn't see it. Her ear couldn't hear it. So how would she ever get to it? This scripture is beautiful, and most people can quote it and know it, but it doesn't end there. He keeps talking about this scripture for the next couple of passages, and let's see what he says. Let's read verse 9 again, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Verse 10, but... he's continuing with the same thought. "But God hath revealed them unto us by" who? "His Spirit." So question, if I am not paying attention to the Holy Spirit at all, what does that mean? I will never get or find the things that God has prepared for me. It's the Holy Spirit's job to find the things that God's prepared for me and reveal them unto me. God's revealed them to us by His Spirit. He keeps talking. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him?" You know that's true. I can think I know you, but I don't know you like you know you. There are things you know about you that I'll never know. You know your bank account number. You know your PIN number. You know your birthday. You know all of that. I don't know what you know. And that's what he's saying is, you think you may know someone, but you don't know that person like the Spirit within them knows them. And he uses that as a parallel for God. And he says, you think you may know God, but you don't know God like the Spirit of God knows God. This is what he's saying next. He said, "For what man knoweth the things of a man," verse 11, "save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God." Now this is huge. You can underline it, highlight it, circle it, star it, whatever your favorite method is. "Why have we received the Spirit of God? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Why have we received the Spirit of God? It's not to make you weird. It's not to make you strange. "That we might know the things that God has prepared for us." And if I don't know Him, I'll never know those things.
Now, keep reading all the way down to verse 14. Well, we'll just pick up with verse 14 for the sake of time. But the natural man receiveth not the things that are of the Spirit of God. Your natural man doesn't receive these things. Your body doesn't receive these things. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. How do you figure out where these things are, what these things are? There's only one way. They are spiritually discerned. Now that sounds real mystic, but it's really not. Direction from God comes to your spirit. It doesn't come to your body. It doesn't come to your mind. It comes to your spirit. The Holy Spirit deals with your spirit. And the way you're going to find out what God has prepared for you is you're only going to discern them spiritually from His Spirit. Now, with that in mind, go over to Romans chapter 8 and we'll wrap this up. Romans is right next door to 1 Corinthians. Just go backwards and you'll bump right over into Romans chapter 8 and we'll close with verse 14 and 16. While you're turning, because you should get there real fast, I'm going to read the scripture that's on the screen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice this, that the God of peace himself may sanctify you completely. And he talks about you and me, that we have three parts. And may your whole, number one, spirit, number two, soul, number three, body, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man is a three-part being. Three-part being. You are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. When someone dies, their body is here, but their spirit is present with the Lord. Because man's a three-part being. Now, here's the cool thing. It's real cool. Now, you got to come back next Sunday in order to complete it, because I got like 6 minutes left. So with this, we'll pick back up with this next Sunday, but hear this out. Man's a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. Each one of those parts has a voice. And one of those voices is more dominant in your life. And which voice is more dominant has everything to do with you and me fulfilling our destinies. The voice of the body is cravings. The Bible calls it lust, the lust of the flesh. Has your body ever spoken to you? I mean, you were driving down County Line and the hot sign came on at the Krispy Kreme. And your body, you just found yourself pulling. Wow, your body said, "I want that. I crave that." The other day, yesterday, my wife was making carrot cake cupcakes. My wife and her sister make the best carrot cake in the world. And she was making cupcakes because she's going to go see her parents and wanted to take them some. They weren't for me. I don't hold it against you, though. But with this, she gave me one last night, but after I preached on this. But with this, she came up to me with the batter, and she said, "Just taste the batter and see, does it taste okay?" And I tasted, "Oh, it's good." And then she came and she said, "Here, just taste the icing." And so I couldn't eat a cupcake, but I had to taste the icing to make sure the icing on the cupcake was good. And so then I have to pull the cupcakes out of the oven. And while I'm pulling them out, knowing that they're not for me, my flesh is talking to me and saying, "Eat." And not just eat one, eat them all. The flesh was talking to me. And you know, like I know, your flesh will talk to you. It sees a car it really likes, it gets excited, get the car. It sees a person it really likes, get the person. Your flesh will talk to you. Your flesh has a voice. It's the lust of the flesh. Now, your mind also has a voice. It's the voice of what we would call reason. And this is where, if I'm not careful, I'll move over here a little bit into the voice of reason. And your mind, it wants to sit back and process all the information. I'll give you an example. Someone slaps you. If you're governed by your flesh, you just slap them right back. I mean, you slap them right back. If you're governed by your mind, you'll try to find a way to slap them back without them knowing you slapped them. So you're going to get them back, but you're processing. You're planning their ultimate demise and that kind of deal. But with this, with the voice of the mind, it weighs out pros and cons. The voice of reason looks at all the jobs. Okay, we got five jobs here. 5 different cities we could live in. Which one's best? Let's weigh the pros and cons. Let's make a list. Pros, cons. Make a list. Voice of reason. And then you have the voice of the Spirit. And you're all familiar with this. Don't make it weird. It's called your conscience. Your conscience. 5 jobs weigh out the pros and cons. But there's one that you just can't pull yourself away from. You walk into a place and you know, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here. What is it? That's your voice of your conscience, the voice of your spirit, and your flesh is saying, but all your friends are here. And your mind is saying, if you leave now, what will they think about you? But your voice of your spirit is saying, step out of this club. Step out of this business deal. But it doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't make sense, but it just doesn't seem right. That's the voice of your spirit. Now, every one of us in here has a dominant voice. Has a dominant voice. Some people are governed by the flesh. Some people are governed by the mind. And some people are spirit-led. Now, with all that in mind, now let's read Romans 8, verse 14 and 16. Romans 8, verse 14, we'll close with this. For as many, Romans 8, 14. Oh, I love this scripture. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're a child of God, you've accepted Jesus, you should be led by the Spirit of God. In fact, proof of your sonship is you are being led by God. As God is leading you, God is guiding you. Sons, daughters, children of God should be, ought to be, are supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. It's His job description. Well, how does He lead us? How does God speak to people? Is it with a voice? Is it with a sign? What is it? How does God speak to people? Verse 16. The Spirit itself, correct translation would be Himself, beareth witness. Here's the key. With our what? Spirit. Now this word witness, it's cool. It's to testify. Speak, to testify about something seen or heard. You call it eyewitness to a stand. They are to testify. What'd you see? What'd you hear? The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit, not your mind, not your flesh, your spirit. They are, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, spiritually discerned. Now, if you listen to your flesh, it's going to get you in a heap of trouble. A heap of trouble. And I'll give you an example. David, King David. He's a time when kings should go out to battle. He's at the top of his rooftop and he sees a woman bathing, Bathsheba, and apparently she's beautiful. And his flesh speaks to him. Call her up here. And so he doesn't slow down. He doesn't think through. He doesn't even weigh the pros and cons. He's just listening to his flesh. It's quick. The flesh is very reactionary. And he turns to the servant, who's the voice of reason in the story. He says, go get her. He says, David, no, think about it. Slow down and think about it. She's a married woman, David. And her husband Uriah, he's out at battle. This is not good. But David is so listening to the voice of his flesh. Oh, it hurts him. And it affects destiny. I'll give you another example. Esau, he's been hunting all day. He's hungry. And his brother Jacob's making some lentil soup. And he comes in, he says, give me some of the soup. I'm famished. I'm about to starve to death. Really? To death? He's not really. But hey, I'm about to starve to death. And so he says, give me some of the soup. Jacob says, all right, I'll give you some of the soup. And what's talking here in Esau, the voice of the flesh? I want soup. I want it now. I'm willing to do anything for it. And Jacob says, no, I'll give you some of the soup, but you give me your birthright. Lifetime of blessing for 5 minutes of fulfillment. Everyone knows soup's not a meal. It's an appetizer. You got to... Esau, think through it, man. Think through it. But what's he do? I want it, and I want it now. I want that house, and I want it now. I want that person, I want him now. So emotionally tied to it. The flesh is speaking so loud. If God got on a megaphone to speak to your spirit, you wouldn't hear him. Because you're so emotionally tied to that investment. You're so excited about it that that's speaking so loud you can't hear the voice of your spirit. Others are very head-led, reason-led. Like the rich young ruler. It just makes sense to keep all the commandments. I mean, everyone knows, don't murder. Everyone knows that, don't murder. It'd be good for me not to murder. He comes to Jesus. He says, Lord, I've kept all the commandments from my youth. That's why he was a rich young ruler. Very head-led, reason-led. But then Jesus tells him to do something that doesn't make sense. Go sell all you have and give it to the poor. That doesn't make any sense. Tithe, that doesn't make any sense. Jesus, you silly. That doesn't make any sense. Do that. And his mind talks him out of it. Because in his mind, it just wouldn't be best for me to. But then you can be spirit-led. And this is where you take the time. I'll teach you how to do this next week. You take the time to calm the flesh, to still the mind, and listen to your heart. And you say, Holy Spirit, would you guide me on this? I'll give you an example. David at his peak. Comes home, he finds out literally someone has taken his wife, kids, and everything he owns. Now, I don't know about you, but that'd be a time where I'd get pretty emotional. I would get pretty emotional. And that, guess what? That's what everybody did. Everyone starts to panic. Everyone starts to cry till no more tears are left in them. Everyone starts to get angry to want to kill David because the voice of the flesh is talking so loud. So you know what David does? Does something real smart. He pulls away, gets behind a bush. And he worships, encourages himself in the Lord, and he stills his flesh. He stills his mind. And he asks the Lord a very interesting question. He says, shall I go pursue? Think about that. Someone is just taking your wife, kids, and everything you own. But he calms himself down enough to get permission first. Because he knows where God guides, God also provides. And God speaks to his heart and says, David, yeah, go pursue. You shall overtake and recover all. That's exactly what David did. So here's what I'm saying. I'll tell you how to do more of this next week. But here's your takeaway. Ask yourself, which voice am I most oftentimes dominated by? Is it the voice of the flesh? Is it the voice of reason, my mind? Or is it the voice of my spirit, my conscience? And what would change about my life if I would just take the time to still those enough and focus in on what is God saying to me right now? How can you do that? Take times of prayer and ask, God, lead me, guide me. Here's a question I always ask. God, are you in this or am I just excited about it? Are you in this in business engagement? Are you in this investment? Are you in this relationship? Speak to my heart clearly. And guess what? He will, because that's what he's there for, your helper. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray with you before you leave. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you, Lord, you bless them, you help them. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that each and every one of us become more intimately acquainted with your Holy Spirit. And Father,